First of all, I want to remind you we have the St. Vincent de Paul Christmas in July tree in the Southwest Vestibule. Also want to remind you next weekend we will have the annual mission cooperative appeal. So we ask you to come prepared to respond generously and sacrificially to that appeal. A fellow owned a pub in Ireland, and he closed the pub at midnight, and about 1 o'clock he gets a call. When are you going to open in the morning? 11 o'clock. Can't you open earlier? No. 2 o'clock, the same fellow. When are you going to open in the morning? 11 o'clock. Can't you open earlier? No. 3 o'clock. When are you going to open in the morning? 11 o'clock. Can't you open earlier? No. In fact, when you come, I'm not going to let you in. He says, I'm already in. I want to get out. The point is persistence. And we have to be persistent in our prayer. The first reading is kind of humorous about Abraham's discussing with God the evils of Sodom and Gomorrah. He has compassion for any innocent people who might be there. And he asked God, well, would you destroy it if there are 50 innocent people? 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. And at that point, God leaves. The point is, the place is irretrievably evil, and that God's judgment is always just, and it is absolutely just. And yet we still see God's mercy in his willingness to withhold his judgment if there are only 10 people, innocent people in that town. It's important to see today that there are some people who do evil and who, even worse, love evil, rejecting God's love for them and seeking only themselves and using people as things for their pleasure, regardless of others' pain. These will not escape God's judgment. Unless responding finally to the action of the Holy Spirit, they turn back and repent of their evil. It is sad to think that people will go to hell, but God's judgment is always absolute and correct, and yet God is merciful. And one of the things we have to understand, too, is that the church has never said any particular person is in hell. The only ones whom we know are in hell are the devil and his angels. But there are probably people in hell because they have rejected God's love for them. And it's a sad thing. But damnation is a person's own fault. And I think perhaps the greatest pain of hell will be knowing that the person who is in hell knows that it is his own fault that he is there, that he rejected all the opportunities that God gave him to convert. Today's gospel, we hear Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer. The apostles ask him to teach him to pray. And he teaches them very simply, and yet in a very profound way. He tells them to call God Father. It comes from an understanding that Jesus and his apostles have an intimate relationship, and that Jesus has an intimate relationship with his Father, and they are to share in that intimate relationship so they can call him Father. He is their Father and our Father. He is the Father of all of us and each of us. And so each of us is called to have a relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then Jesus gives an example to show us what kind of father the Father is. He will respond, not because we are persistent, but because he loves us. And this reminds us not to panic. Every prayer is heard and every prayer is answered. And some years ago, we used to see these things in the church every now and again, a little piece of paper with a thing on it, basically kind of a kind of a spiritual chain letter, saying that you have to read this, say this prayer 9 times and make copies and put so forth. It's never been known to fail. Well, no prayer has ever been known to fail. God hears every prayer and responds to every prayer, but in his way, in his love and mercy. God will give us always what is good and not what we want. He will give us what we need, but it's important for us to understand the difference between what we need and what we want. Indeed, often it is many years before because we pray for various things, very often it is many years before we come to understand that the prayer that we offered, and sometimes we even get angry with God for not answering it, some years later we realize, yes, he did answer it. Not in the way I wanted, but in the way that was best. And our persistence in prayer is not to try and convince God to give us what we need, because God always knows it already. God loves us, and God is always here. But he calls us to be persistent so that we may understand our need for God and to talk to him and to listen to him. We need to ask the grace to let his will be done, that our hearts may be surrendered to his will, even and especially when it goes against the grain. We are to love even when somebody has hurt us, and the love that we have for that person leads us by God's grace not to strike back. We are called to have that one relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that means we have to forgive. We don't always forget, but we have to forgive, not feeling good about the one who has hurt us, but asking the grace to respond to that person with kindness and generosity and mercy, even to be kind to those who are enemies and persecutors. We ask Father to give us our daily bread, his Son's body and blood, that we may have God's kingdom in our hearts, and that when he calls us from this world, we may be in his kingdom in heaven forever.